Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the arcade. Welcome to Joystick Journeys, a very special episode because we are at number 10. We're in double digits. A couple quick announcements. We've got, if you missed last week's episode with Andy Does Things, his episode went live this morning. You guys can check it out on Amazon Music. Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and anywhere you can find those wonderful things. And tonight in the arcade, we've got, I consider, the queen of Disney Dreamlight Valley, the wonderful and amazing Strawberry Mama, Cozy Celinda. Welcome on in. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You glad to be in the arcade?
I'm glad. I'm just a little nervous.
No, nothing to be nervous about, because as always, just a reminder for everyone, this is not something super serious. We are here to talk about video games and the different consoles and everything that has just paved your way as a gamer. And so if we get on a tangent, and by God, Andy proved that last week for sure. If we get on a tangent, we will ride that wave for the entire 2 hours.
I'm ready for it.
But good. So I like starting everyone out with the fun first question of, and I've modified it a little bit, of what's your first memory with gaming?
Ooh, that's a little hard because, like, I've been in and out of it my whole life. All I can, like, really remember is, like, starting on the, like, original PlayStation and playing, like, Spyro and Crash Bandicoot on that. But other than that, it's just been, like the Game Boy, then, like, the SP, and then the Game Advance, and just moving up with that console.
Yeah.
Console, handheld, whatever you want to call it.
They're still they're handheld consoles, so it works. So you've got a really interesting start for a lot of people than compared to other people I've talked to, because PlayStation's your number one. PlayStation's your starting point.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Spyro already. Let's see if I can pronunciate mine. What other than Spyro, what's some other, like, big games you remember playing?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question, because those are the two that I mainly remember playing a lot of. I know that there was one that's, like, sticking in my memory. It's, like, a Barbie adventure game. It's a freaking Barbie.
Nothing wrong with a Barbie game. Nothing wrong with a Barbie game.
I can't remember what you do in it. I just remember the Barbie game.
It was probably a horse game. Knowing Barbie, it was probably a horse adventure.
Probably. Actually, I think it was.
See?
I think it was. But yeah, other than that, I couldn't recall anything.
So was the PlayStation your PlayStation, or was it, like, a family member's, or?
The entire family.
Okay.
My mom would be like, it was mine, and I let the kids play.
So we got some other gamers in the family then.
Yeah, my older sister.
Okay, oh, yeah. So yeah, I didn't know you had any siblings.
I do. I have one biological sister. She's older. And then I have 4 step siblings, but I only, like, really talk to 2 of them.
Okay.
My younger stepsister is, like, my best friend.
That's always good. That's always a fun time. So we move from PlayStation to Game Boy SP. What games we looking at on the SP?
Oh, gosh. that's a good question. I couldn't tell you. My mom's got them all.
Yeah?
She's kept every console, every Game Boy that we've had. The only one I have is my 3DS. So, I remember, I don't know if it was on the SP or if it was on the Advance. There's a game called Herbs, and it's kind of like The Sims.
I know it.
You remember?
I know. So I've never played the Herbs. My previous partner, they enlightened me on Herbs. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And she's like, it's the street version of Sims, and it's made by the same company. It also had a really weird tie-in with the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was weird, but I love it. I think I still have it somewhere. Oh, gosh.
So you had that, you mentioned the off and on with gaming. What's with that? Like, elaborate on that a little bit more.
So, I was the more outdoorsy sister, and I would be, you know, chopping firewood with dad or going out and just playing in the woods in general or running around in dirt. I don't know. Like, I was just more outdoor, you know, as Ohioans.
Yeah.
Rolling around in the cornfield.
Of course.
So I would just be more outside and then take a break for months on end on the game and then back to it.
That's really it. Because I've so one of the things that like inspired Joystick Journeys was it's a YouTuber that he started a series with his I believe wife, I think it was girlfriend at the time but later became wife, was gaming for a non-gamer. And it was the idea of like gamers all the time, like those of us that have been long-term gaming, we understand X means jump across the board. We understand your right stick usually is to control your camera, your left stick's to control you. And with you being an on and off again gamer, is there anything like concepts within gaming that you don't like, you think that may have took you a little while to understand?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it makes you think a little.
It does. Oh gosh. I don't think so. Because it wasn't like long breaks or I guess a very wide range of games either. It'd be pretty much the same type of game.
Yeah. Because you got Spyro, which is a platformer. I don't even know what I would consider Barbie Horse Adventure at that point. it was cute, cozy games.
Cute, cozy games at that point. From now on, like the 10 dogs with the DS and, oh gosh, like all the, like the Disney games. So like there was a Hannah Montana game at one point.
Which I assume would probably be dress up and rhythm game.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, just all the cute, cozy games, per usual.
Yeah. So, like, so that's the other thing with this series. It's, like, to see those events in history and gaming. And I know outside of your love to Disney, Dreamlight Valley, which we will get to that. That is going to be a major topic about this. You also play Valorant, which a lot of people, when you hear cozy, you don't think Valorant. And you've also played Fortnite with us, which you throw the cozy persona out the window.
She's gone. She's in a whole nother world at that point. Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, like, what drew you to Valorant?
I had a friend that I was really close with at the time. They were playing it a lot, and I loved watching them play. I've seen other streamers play, and I was like, I could never. But then watching them play, they're like, I'll teach you how to do it. And I was like, really? So then I jumped in and was learning how to do stuff, and then it just took off. I don't want to put the game down. It's the only game that I constantly want to play, which is weird.
Why do you think that's weird?
Because I'm just not like DDLV was that at one point for me. Like I could play it all the time, and it honestly kind of burns me out sometimes now. I'll get into that if you want. But I don't know. I never thought that like a shooter game or whatever you want to call it would be my favorite.
Well, and it's really interesting because like with Valorant, when you start looking at shooters, Valorant's a mix of two very distinct genres in shooters. And that's the hero shooter and then a very tactical shooter like CSGO, because that's one of the main stylized that it went with how they design their maps, their game type in general. Is very Counter-Strike. And so it's really interesting to see you took two of the most serious types of shooters and said, I'm going to play this. Because
and I'm not good.
Have you seen like competitive Counter-Strike matches before?
Oh, mm-mm.
That's a time. Like that is when esports like really hit big and you had Counter-Strike tournaments and stuff. Those people go hard. And the tactical accuracy for Counter-Strike is through the roof. It's still one of the very, very in-depth tactical shooters. And then you have your hero shooters like Overwatch, which is still one of the biggest ones, even though Marvel Rivals is killing that herd real quick. And it's just like, it's interesting that you chose the two hardest genres of shooters to probably get into, other than Call of Duty, which isn't a full tactical shooter, but is just a really hard competitive to get into. And you're like, I like this one. This one I really enjoy.
The one that I want to do all the time. Yeah, it's hard. Ugh. I'm not good by any means, but I think it's more so the people that I play with. So, like, I have Savannah and I have Jorge that I play with majority of the time, if not every single day. And they make it more enjoyable for me. And meeting some of the people on the game, like, when I don't have my kids, I can be a little loud and crazy, and I'm like, on the mic, I'm crazy. And other times I have to be like pretty quiet. And depending on the day, you can get really, really friendly people, which is awesome, or just like really nasty, mean people. And that's the only bad part about the game, is I think.
Oh yeah. And I think that's the dichotomy of those shooters. Because I grew up in the era growing up with Call of Duty lobbies on Xbox Live. And getting slurs thrown at me 5 ways till Sunday.
Oh yeah.
On everything.
Oh my god.
You've probably heard your fair share already, and the things and the very illicit things that they've said about your mother.
Oh, for sure. Or like just being a girl in gaming, period. Like, especially like back in the day with the COD lobbies.
Oh yeah. And it's like there's that dichotomy for it too, because I don't think we're definitely talking about it a lot more lately, for sure. In the time that we are in, but like girls in gaming, you hear a girl on the mic and everyone's hitting it 5 ways till Sunday, trying to either show off or just be absolutely terrible.
Still to this day, I don't think that'll ever go away, to be honest.
I don't think it will either, and I hate to say that.
Sad.
Especially because, like, I know a lot of female gamers who can throw down in Call of Duty, who can throw down in Overwatch, and you in Valorant, and just stuff like that. And it's just like, it's interesting to see that dichotomy of, especially because your main persona on Twitch, if we call it persona, is that cozy gamer. Is that, I'm gonna sit here and play Minecraft and do cute little builds, or Disney Dreamlight Valley, where you're doing the Star
Path.
Yeah. I know nothing about this game other than it's Animal Crossing with Disney characters.
Literally. The perfect thing ever. Like,
and it's great. So, like, branching over to that with Disney, what did you, like, play Animal Crossing beforehand, or, like, did you just, okay, I see the head nod.
Oh, yeah, like GameCube, Animal Crossing. That's where I started.
Old-fashioned GameCube, always a good time.
And then I've just bought all of them ever since. I'm an OG.
My big one for Animal Crossing was the Wii one. City Folk.
City Folk, yeah.
So, I have that one. It's one of those memories with me. It was one of the games mom played. And so it's like, so I have a base understanding of Animal Crossing. It's a second job. I don't care who you are, what you say. That's a second job.
For sure.
Especially if you want to go hard with it. But so, like, do you think Disney has that same mentality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get burnt out so fast. And I have. I definitely have. I've been playing Disney since it was in beta, I don't know what it's called, before it was actually released. I paid that extra money to play it early. And it's a grind if you make it that way. Getting all the stuff done before the next update or before the next big thing, whatever. Getting the star path, it's another job.
And then I know it has the Instagram aspect of it, of the screenshot stuff, which is, you're one of the few people that I know do it. And the only reason I know about it. So what's that? What's that aspect of the game?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess the building.
Yeah.
And more than anything, decorating a building, whatever you want to call it. That's what everybody really wants to see, I guess. And that I find it hard. It took me a really long time to find my groove with decorating and stuff, because I was just, posting selfies of myself in the game and nobody could care less. They really didn't care. So once I started decorating and screenshotting it that way and throwing it on Instagram, people were like, oh, you're kind of good at this. And then, took off from there.
And I find, because it's a niche. It's a niche community for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because I, outside of meeting you and a couple others, I know nobody. I know absolutely nobody that plays Disney Dreamlight Valley. And so it's interesting to see kind of looking into that. And so for you personally, what draws you to that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I guess it is the building. Getting to design, my little world, my little valley. And I love Disney in general. So I'll never stop. As long as they keep updating that game, I'm not going to stop playing it. But I also love the grind of the Star Path too. I would usually, this time around, I didn't. I haven't yet. I haven't completed it. But usually I would grind it out and get it done within the first week.
Oh, wow.
I love the grind, but I've been a little burnout lately with everything.
No, that's so completely fair.
It's taken me a minute. I'm not done. And I'm panicking because we have 15 days.
Well, and it's pretty much the equivalent of a battle pass in retrospect, where you've got a set of quests that you need to do, and they give you a set of tasks that you need to get accomplished, from my understanding of it. And you get cosmetics and more decorations.
Just Fortnite.
Yeah. A little different. So, because we've got two very distinct genres for you. We've got cozy game, and then we got Valorant shooter.
Valorant.
Is there a genre of game that you don't think you touch very often, or that you touch the least?
I'm not a big horror game player. I like Lethal Company a little bit, but I have to play with people.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, I don't really care for horror games or anything. Anything that's going to scare me, I don't want it.
you don't want the adrenaline pumping from the spoopy people?
I am such a jumpy person. I hear something fall. I'm already jumping. Someone comes in the door at work and I'm freaking out. I'm a jumpy person. So I don't want to. No.
you don't need that for your gaming experience?
No. No, Cozy's and Valorant. That's it. Cozy and Valorant. Valorant's a jump scare in itself.
Oh, yeah. Got people coming around the corner, and next thing you know, you're respawning already.
It's okay, listen here. Give me a minute.
You gotta catch my breath.
And plus, me yapping, I'm such a talker. I'm too busy doing that other than, trying to kill people. I'm not good at the game at all, but I have fun either way.
Well, and I think that's the main thing, because you keep bringing up the people that you play with, the people that you play with, and I think that's always important for games in general. There's a couple games I know that are in my library that I don't touch unless I'm playing with other people.
Yeah.
And it's that simple of like, unless I know I'm playing with people, I don't care. Fortnite has become one of those games for me, definitely. I haven't touched this season of Fortnite at all. And it's like, it is what it is. Now, Marvel Rivals right now, I think it's in that weird in-between. Which, do you think you're popping on the Marvel Rivals train with the rest of the cabin?
I actually talked about this on my stream the other day. I will only play if the cabin needs me to play. It is definitely, it's so different from Valorant. When I played the one, I think a couple games, it was one that I was playing with everybody. I was like, oh, I'm not good at this. I'm not getting very many kills. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm just picking random people to play. It's a lot for me. Like, that's why I don't think I could ever get into Overwatch. It just seems like a lot.
And that's fair. I think games like Marvel Rivals or Overwatch expressively, because Overwatch is first person, I think it could get overwhelming. For sure. I mean, even with Valorant, I know there's some moments where it does become a little bit too much at times. And just thinking of stuff like that. I said that to segue into something. My brain just absolutely just died. Is there any genres of games that you'd be interested in trying? Ooh.
Is it bad to say no?
No, I mean, because like, you have me who's like the hardcore variety streamer, as we like to dub me in the cabin a lot of the times. and I'll play literally about anything. I think there's a couple game styles that I won't play, and it's like MOBAs. I won't play League of Legends or games that are styled like League of Legends. A, the community for League of Legends, not a good time. but there's games like that. I can't say dress-up games because Gab roped me in at one point to play the one on Roblox.
Oh, Dress to Impress.
Yeah, there it is.
I haven't played it yet.
Have fun getting down that rabbit hole. And enjoy that.
Oh no. Oh gosh.
But you are very that cozy coded person, especially on your channel, and especially your gaming preference as well. From what we've talked about. I mean, you've had the small diverges of Spyro, which is a platformer. And then again, Valorant. Like circling just back to Valorant, like that it's such a difference. So
funny.
So it's like, I want to see if I could just throw a game at you and just be like, hey, play this, see if you enjoy it.
Anytime.
and just start throwing games at you and be like, hey, play this game. Do this game. Let's see what happens.
Let's see if you like this one.
Here's Magic the Gathering. Play it.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a card game. First of all, it's one of the most popular card games in the world. And it's just the virtual version of it.
I don't even know.
Or like, oh, what's one of the really big City Skylines. I'll throw you City Skylines. Have a city management game. Enjoy that. Build a city.
Build a city.
Manage your taxes. Enjoy.
Oh my gosh, that'd be funny. Oh yeah, I'm down. I'll play whatever, at least once. Don't say that I'll keep playing it, but I'll play it once.
And I also think that idea, to keep that open mind, like you were definitely, you've pigeonholed yourself in retrospect of you and your channel. Because I remember distinctly when we was playing Fortnite for my birthday, you're sitting there, A, cussing like a sailor, and then B, apologizing for cussing like a sailor the entire time. And it's like, but just let yourself be you. But you also have that persona to uphold now. Do you think that stops you from playing games?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because, listen, if I was playing, like, horror games all the time, I would be swearing up and down the wall, screaming. There would be nothing cozy about me. Yeah, Valorant gets me that way sometimes, too. I can try to, you know, keep it together when I'm streaming it. But off stream, ask Jorge and Sav. I'm swearing the entire time.
And that doesn't surprise me. I find this, it's interesting for this episode, especially if your viewers are A, in here, B, if they listen to the VOD or the episode later. It's more of like an introspective into you, not just your joystick journey of like the behind the scenes of silly.
Yeah. IRL silly is crazy, hyper, wild, loud, and obnoxious, and I do curse all the time. It's in my vocabulary. Every other word. It's bad. It's a bad habit. I gotta break it.
So, yeah. Weird question that honestly just popped in my head. Do you think, because I know your community knows that you're a mother and everything, do you think you having kids influences the games that you play?
It's a good question. I don't think so. I think it'd be the same either way.
Yeah. Because I know there was a spell for me whenever I had my 3-step kids for a while that it was, I definitely watched what I played around more and in that aspect because, you know, you're trying to raise them and all that fun jazz. And then, but making sure that A, they understand that line of fiction and real, which I know is hard at times. Yeah. Ooh, buddy. And the imagination is a crazy thing. And then, but also trying to teach them game etiquette. I don't know if you've had to experience that lately or if the little ones are even dabbling in gaming at all.
Nope, 2 and 4. They are too worried about Moana and...
For the 50th time. And, yeah.
Literally. God.
Because, like, yeah, for me, they started playing Fortnite. And started hearing them trash talk and stuff. But not, like, how we just discussed trash talking, but trash talking for kids. And it's like, you can't play like that, dude. You gotta be good. You gotta be good about it. And then you also sit there and look at the adults that are doing the same thing, and you're just like, boy, howdy.
It's gonna be on Valorant. There's like kids, and I'm like, go to bed. What are you doing that? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you can't curse like that. And then here I am doing the exact same thing, and I'm up till 2 in the freaking morning. Gotta go to work at 7. You know.
You know, as we do.
As we do. Oh, gosh.
So, circling back a little bit to, like, you growing up as gaming, do you think a lot of your choices of games growing up or the consoles that you have definitely influenced you into that cozy gamer you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, all of mine were pretty much, like, the same, like, dress up this and take care of little animals or whatever. Cozy. And all the games I have are cozy. Besides Herbs.
Yeah, Herbs. Herbs is time.
Herbs is not cozy. but yeah, everything's pretty cozy even back then. Other than I did have a little dabble in the COD stuff, which was only every once in a blue moon because I'd play on my cousin's account. My mama would never. Even though she let me play Grand Theft Auto. I did play Grand Theft Auto.
Okay, wait a minute here. So you're just going to drop the bomb. We got Valorant. And then you're just now going to drop the bombshell of GTA?
Back in the day. I don't think I could ever play it now. But because I don't know. I just, I watch people play. Like I'm a streamer that plays it and she does RP. And I love watching her do it. Me could never. But yeah, I used to play Grand Theft Auto.
I'm just picturing you running around, shoot people up, doing drive-bys, and it is the thought I never knew I needed.
That was the old silly. We're cozy now. We're cozy.
All I pictured from that then also was you playing Red Dead Redemption and you just taking care of your horse, dressing up Arthur and...
What is this other game that we used to play? Oh, gosh. It was on the PlayStation 2. And it kind of had the same feel of, like, COD. I want to say Red Faction, Red something.
Was he in Mars? Was it sci-fi?
I don't think so. It was like some sort of shooting thing. Oh, gosh. I can't remember. Because then the disc got scratched and then I could never play it again and I was already ticked off.
So, oh, kids. Not...
I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because, like, I bought my PlayStation 5 with the disc tray. So, got it where you can put discs still in your PlayStation 5. My library's digital. I don't know why I spent the little bit of extra money on a disc tray. I've got a game for the PlayStation 5 physical. And that's Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Love it. That's so
funny. And I think that's interesting as well, because I know we're close in age, and I know a lot of the cabin members are around our little circle of age here. And older, younger ones, I don't know if they remember it as much, of having just stacks of games and cases and the joy of reading the instruction manual on the drive home.
Yep. Literally. Having to make sure nothing was scratched and what, you know, oh my gosh, that was...
Or putting your PlayStation at like a 40 degree angle with a couple books because your disc reader was off.
Exactly. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that.
It's all digital. It's all PC. Well, and then Switch, but digital.
Yeah, the only game I think I have physical copy for is Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
It's the only one. Everything else,
all digital. Can't lose digital. It. Don't really own it though. One day it's gonna go. But that's that's a whole different conversation.
Oh my gosh! Listen, Animal Crossing. I ever lose my world, I'm going to riot and I'll cry because everybody's like, "Oh, reset." I could never reset. I've got too much stuff on there. I'd rather tear down my little town and terraform over again.
I would hate to open, like, if I had my Wii still and I had my copy of City Folk, I'd hate to open it right now. Those villagers would be so pissed.
So pissed. I would never. Rossetti, I'm glad we don't have to deal with him anymore. I'm so glad.
Is he not in the games anymore?
He doesn't pop up when, like, I don't, because you can't really, like...
Well, I'm actually really surprised he's not, because of how much people do the time travel to try to get the ones that they want. Because that used to be the big thing, is he would yell at you for changing the date and time, or if you forgot to save your game.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not me, I swear the stupid game died. I just need to charge it. That was my problem.
Why does that not surprise me? That does not surprise me at all. I was the kid that would plug it in and play at the same time and completely shoot my battery in the foot. I know we don't really interact with chat much, but Dan just said the best thing ever. If I see Rossetti ever again, it's on site.
I couldn't help but see it pop up, and I was like, wait a minute, that's so true. I'm throwing down with Rossetti. Oh, gosh, that's so funny.
So, were you on the Fields of Mysteria train?
A little.
A little? Are you where I'm at with it, where you're waiting for more updates?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of rioting a little bit because I can't remember his name at this given time, but there's a character in the game that we cannot romance.
It's the blacksmith's brother.
Yes.
It's the main blacksmith, because you can romance Flint.
Whatever.
I'm going to have to look at these names now. I'm going to hate myself for it later.
I'm so mad I can't remember his name, but listen, I even messaged them. I tagged them on my story and I said, give me him now.
I want him.
This is
Well, even like me, it's like very straight white male, very straight white male. But there are some points where I get a little hetero flexible, and because like Baylor, I could get down with Baylor. He's a nice little merchant dude. He's swanky. He's Marth from Fire Emblem with long hair. I mean, what's not to love there? But where is he? You got, why are these? Are these in alpha? Oh, okay, they're in alphabetic order. That makes a little bit more sense. And is that a dating? Oh, romanceable. Okay, cool. Can I do these by romanceable? Yes. Okay. So you have March, which is the one you can, and everyone wants to try to fix them.
Yeah. That'd be me.
Why does it not surprise me?
I can fix him, I swear.
And then Ulrich. Ulrich's is his brother. It's like, I looked at Ulrich, I'm like, this is a nice man. This is a good boy. Why can't we date the good boy?
Yeah, exactly. He's a sweetie. Let us date him, please. But also, it's not just that. There's so many games to play and so little time to do it. And me being me, I'd rather DDLV or Valo over everything. And Minecraft.
Yeah, getting some Minecraft in there. I know with Fields of Mystria, it brought a breath of fresh air to that genre, though, in my opinion. I know I talked with Emmy extensively because that's when I did Emmy's episode around the time that it started hitting real big for Fields. Also, just side comment on dateable things. You can date the dragon. The statue? Yeah, you can date the dragon later at some point. It's not available yet, but... We can't date the one good boy in town, but we can date the dragon statue? Okay, cool.
That makes no sense. What?
Fantasy game.
I guess.
Fantasy game for somebody.
Not me, couldn't be.
Linda, are we learning things about you tonight?
No.
No dragons for Celinda, got it.
No dragons for me.
But, again, being a breath of fresh air, it was really nice to see, because you have elements from Animal Crossing, you have elements from Harvest Moon in there, a lot of Stardew Valley, which of course is a big spiritual successor to the classic Harvest Moon series. Which, did you ever play any of, like, the original Harvest Moons growing up?
No Harvest Moon here. I know, it's crazy.
If I will recommend any of them... They did a remake, and they put it on Steam because... So Harvest Moon is now called Story of Seasons. And that's just a whole, like, naming debacle. It's a whole thing. I hate that it's a thing. But it's on Steam. It's called Story of Seasons, A Wonderful Life. It was originally out for the GameCube. It is... It's one of my favorite Harvest Moons, and it's one of my favorite versions of those games as well, because the art style is slightly different than a lot of them, and it's like realistic, almost like oil painting, water painting type of art for it. And then with the remaster, they did it where you can play a female character, which was originally only in the Japanese version. And then with the original, you had only three romanceable options. You had, I believe it was Muffy, who's the easiest, and she's the daughter of the bartender in town. I can't remember, because they're red, blue, and green, it's their color scheme. The green one worked at the other farm in town. And so she's like the midline one. And then there's Nami, who's this redhead in blue that if you don't romance her or get her friendship story up to a certain point, she leaves town and never comes back.
What? Oh, no. It'd be my mission.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of people's mission because she's also the hardest one to romance.
Oh.
But
like challenges.
Yeah. Challenges. But one of the other interesting aspects about that Harvest Moon game is that your character got old at a certain point. And like, so if you did a romance, you had a kid and they would age up to a certain point. And at a certain point, they take over the farm. And that was kind of the end game, is you take over the farm as your kid and you live with your mom on the farm and you just continue your father's work, basically. But there's a character in town that also ages up, that's a couple years older than your kid, that she ages up at a certain point. And in the Japanese version, she was I think it's Japanese in the PlayStation version, because they came out with it for the PlayStation 2 as well. She becomes a romanceable option. And it was really interesting that this game did that. And I don't think there's been another, like, Harvest Moon style of game where that happens.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
But I would definitely highly recommend that.
That sounds fun.
Give you a new game in the rotation.
Literally. Throw it in there.
Yeah. Is there any games that are coming out that you're looking forward to?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. So, obviously, the Hello Kitty game, the Hello Kitty Adventures, it's coming out in a few days. I'm so excited. I'm Hello Kitty everything. I don't know if you can see her in the background. She's back there on my bed. But I love Hello Kitty. So I'm excited about that one. But the one I'm more excited for is Tales of the Shire, which is like
Hobbit.
Yeah. Oh, I love those movies. I love The Lord of the Rings. I am so excited for this game. Dying to play it, so it'll take up a lot of my time,
because it's basically going to be Hobbit Animal Crossing, right? That's the gist of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a big fan on the art style that I've seen though for it, which I think it's been a general consensus.
Yeah, me, I just I'm here for the game. I mean, yes, the art style's a little win, but I'm still excited to play it.
Well, good. I like hearing what people games are excited for, because I'm all the games I'm excited for are currently out. I just don't have money. Like Sonic Generations and Shadow was a big one for me, and it's already out. Dragon Ball Z, Sparking Limits, whichever the new fighter is, because it's a successor to the Budokai series, it's already out. I just don't have money, and I don't have time for it.
Yeah, understandable. Relatable, even. I have so many on my wish list that I'm like, waiting for you to go on sale. A really, really good sale. A
really, really, really good sale.
Like a couple dollars, good sale would be nice.
So how big do you think your backlog is? Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I get excited for a game, and then I start playing it, and then I always just go back to, oh, I'd rather play Valorant or DDLV, and then I forget about it. Like, Paleo Pines, I played a little bit of it and then just forgot about it. And then Tiny Glade ticked me off when it wasn't working on stream and then just gave up on it. And there's so many that I have that I just haven't touched in a really long time. Or at all. It's too busy.
We don't talk about the games we don't touch at all. We don't touch those ones. I mean, I know you've talked about game, like with DDLV and Valorant, they've just caught your attention. They've got you, they grabbed you. What do you think a game has to have do that to you?
It's a good question. Honestly, kind of like, so. I started playing Infinity Nikki. Bad idea. Horrible idea, even. I've been told not to play it because it's cutesy and you have to buy all the outfits and all these things. And I don't know. So that like cutesy outfit aspect of it, like Valorant has gun skins. As long as I can make it cutesy and girly pop, I don't care. So I bought like a couple of gun skins that I probably shouldn't have bought and spent some money on there. But like with like DDLV's aspect of it is the grind. I love to.
You like having a task.
Yeah, I need something to do, because if it's like with Infinity Nikki, like, yeah, there's tasks, but there's a lot of like exploring to do too. I can find myself like getting off track, and I need to be on track doing a task or decorating. Building, decorating, and tasking. That's pretty much it. I just need something to be set on.
You need a railroad. You need a track.
Yeah.
So we just got to give cutesy game with cosmetics and clear goals to accomplish.
Yes.
That's what we need for you.
Yes.
So. I think for me, it just has to be engaging. Like, it just has to, because I play a lot of games that are like roguelikes that change every time you play it. But there's that, that's the grind. That is, oh, here's a new dungeon layout. Like when I'm playing Notia, every level's procedurally generated every time I start up a new run. Or Balatro, which my coworker says I have an addiction to, because A, I've streamed it like the last 4 times on stream, and I bought it on mobile. For $10, I spent $10 for a poker solitaire game on my phone.
I'm not judging.
Which I play in between customers now at work.
Okay, yeah, I can see it being a little bit of an obsession, a little addicted.
And it's just like, but there's something about, and I think it's that like light gambling aspect. Because I know I've talked about it on my stream a little bit of like, because my brother's into Pokemon cards right now and doing all that. There's a gambling aspect to that. Ripping a pack open and hoping for a good pull and stuff like that. And then, but with Balatro, seeing that chip rate go up, getting that a perfect streak of modifier, especially that I've learned that if I get a plus 10 modifier here, plus 10 modifier here, and then I have a Joker that times 3s, since they go left to right, if I have that times 3 at the end, it times 3s my full multiplier. And so that's a lot of points. And it's like, points! And so I think it's, you gotta have something that keeps that gameplay loop. Yeah. For me. Or good story. I know I've talked it to death about Until Then, my indie game of last year. But give me just a good, heartfelt, passionate story that you can tell the developers put into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never played.
I know. You're on the list of people I need to gift it to. Because I will at some point, hopefully, make sure that everyone in the cabin has a copy of Until Then. Here, I was emotionally traumatized. Enjoy the trauma.
I have to deal with it, so do you.
But it's great. And the soundtrack for it is amazing. God, if I could get it on vinyl, I would. And the story, like, because it goes through a first playthrough. And that first playthrough is like, you're learning the characters, you're learning the story of it, and it tugs at the heartstrings a little here and there. And then they use mundane minigames to kind of break up everything. When I tell you, plug in a USB, what is the exact feeling you get when I say, hey, plug in a USB? It becomes harder than it should be, right?
Like, wait a minute.
I gotta flip it, try to plug it in. Fuck, that didn't work. Flip it over again. Well, why didn't that work? Flip it over again. Well, now it worked. That's literally one of the first ones you do of like these Monday mini games is you're plugging in a USB. And I'm like, fuck. and it brought all of that back of like, I plugged in a USB. Well, this shouldn't be so hard. And then it became hard. I'm like, what the hell's going on?
Wait a minute. It's supposed to be easy.
Or, like, there's one of them, and it's not even, I wouldn't even fully call it a minigame. It's, here's, you're painting. And it's like, follow the line with your cursor. And it's like, oh, that's nice, that's fun, let's see where this goes type of deal. Or towards the very, like, very end of the game, there's a tree. They're like, hey, let's cut something into this tree to remember it by, or something like that. And I just went, just swiping my mouse back and forth. And it became an achievement. It said, hey, you cut the fuck out of that tree, basically.
Oh my god. Me, I'd be like... Trace, I'm gonna be so shaky.
Let's try doing something cute.
It'd be so ugly. Oh god.
But, like, that game there, it's like, it got me. I wanted to make sure I streamed it. And then after the first mind fuck of the story, god. Oh. I stopped for like a month before I touched it again. Because it just like, it hit you. It hit you in the feels, and it came from, as I said in another streamer's chat this morning, it hit me like a baseball bat in a dark hallway.
Oh no. Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Cry? You're gonna cry. I know I've gifted it to Emmy, and I know I've gifted it to Indy. I'm waiting for them to play it so badly. Because I know Emmy's gonna cry.
Oh, for sure.
I know Emmy's gonna cry. And then if they continue playing it, they're gonna be like, why?
Why did you do this to me? I'll cry. I'm an emotional person to begin with. I cry over everything. Happy, mad, sad, I'm crying.
Puked to everything. At least yours is slightly better.
Oh no.
Super excited, super angry, super depressed. It's in the toilet.
Oh no.
Take the time.
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, I'm trying to think of any like other fun questions to hit you with. Of like where you've come from for gaming, because like, did you go to like arcades growing up? Nah. You don't have the joy of playing on our arcade cabinet?
No, not at all. I know, that's so sad.
Because that's one of my weird fond memories, is going to like some of the couple pizza places like after like a church night or something, and they've got like a racing game for quarter slots or stuff like that, and playing that while waiting on pizza with the youth group. And it's like, but that's also that brings into like the core of like what this is like figuring out what these steps are for you as a game. Because we've dabbled here and there, like GameCube. We talked about it very minorly. Animal Crossing. Can you think of any other games for GameCube?
Oh, no.
No?
I couldn't tell you.
Thinking yeah. Now.
I'm like racking my... I'm trying really hard. But like, I couldn't tell you any other game for the GameCube. I could tell you other games for like the PlayStation.
Yeah?
Like the one that popped into my mind. Tekken. All the Tekken games.
There we go.
I played all those.
Well, I can't believe you never played a Tekken arcade cabinet then. Jeez!
I know!
You're missing the true experience of Tekken.
I played them on the PlayStation. What other game? Is it Rayman? Is that
classic Rayman. I love. We played him. But the thing that takes me back with Rayman is it was a Wii launch title. Rayman's Raving Rabbits, which is where we got those stupid rabbits from.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it might not. I don't know.
So you know the rabbits that are like all in stupid amounts of Nintendo products now? They did.
Yes.
It came from that game, and it was originally a Rayman party game, is what it was. It was a game to show off like the motion controls, for the Wii remote, and like you would do a set of mini games, and then. They would give you, after you did a set of mini games, it was like an on the rails point and shooter. And you was shooting the rabbits with a plunger. And if you successfully did that track of mini games and beat the shooting level, you got a plunger. And your whole goal was to collect enough plungers to escape the prison that these rabbits was keeping Rayman in. And you could dress them up, and it was a party game. And so you could verse each other in mini games and whatnot. It's where these stupid rabbits came from.
I had no idea. Or I just forgot, you know.
We're getting old. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Speaking of getting old, this is so off topic. I found gray hairs. And not even just gray. A singular silver hair sticking straight up the side of my head the other day. And then I found patches of gray. And I was like, covered up.
It's okay. I got them, too. I'm going to be looking like Doctor Strange down the sides at some point.
I'm going to be 35 and fully gray. My mom was so gray when she was young. She grayed so fast. I just let it go. I was like, whatever.
You're going to hold on to it as hard as you can, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I just changed everything to being like cozy grandma. Cozy grandma. Cozy strawberry grandma.
That's so funny.
Full rebrand. Do your logo. Give your logo. Can't even finish that one with a straight face. Jeez.
Could you guys imagine one day I just come in here, I hit like 30, 35 years old, still streaming, and my whole rebrand is grandma theme. Like freaking no strawberries anymore. We're cookies and everything.
It worked. You're not it's not strawberries and it's not cookies. You're specifically making strawberry jam now.
Oh my gosh, it's perfect.
That was your grandma hobby that you got into was making jams.
Jam. Oh gosh, that's so funny.
We spoke it in the universe. It has to happen now, right?
It's like, gonna happen now. That's eventually. It'll eventually happen.
But yeah, Rayman was originally platformers for the longest time, and they were stupidly hard platformers too, especially for that PlayStation era.
God, yeah. I couldn't even tell you like about it anymore. I just remember the game and it being hard for me. That's all I can remember. I just wanted to be like my sister and play all the games she played, but the only thing I never got like really into was Pokemon.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough. Yeah. I didn't get into that until Scarlet and Violet. Big fan. Because
that's really surprising.
Mm-hmm. I wish I would have, but I didn't. My sister was all up in that.
Well, now we just need to get you an emulator and have you play through all the Pokemon games.
I wouldn't even have played that if my friends at the time didn't convince me.
Yeah.
So, like, I was a part of a Facebook group that I was, like, a mod for. And the whole mod team also was starting to play the Scarlet and Violet. And they're like, I'm the only one not playing. They're like, oh, send in the buy-in. As long as you help me, I don't know what I'm doing. So I bought it and they left me in the dust. And I still don't know what I'm doing. But I love it, and I love all the Pokemon. I mean, I've got Funkos back there.
They're cute. I make them battle each other. It's fine.
Yeah, they're cute, and that's all that matters to me.
No, it's just advanced rock, paper, scissors with dog fighting.
So, yeah, that's the only Pokemon game I've ever played.
We need to fix that. Especially, like, with Pokemon Snap. We need to get you playing Pokemon Snap. The new or the old one. You're literally on a rail, you're on track, and your objective is to take pictures of Pokemon.
Oh, stop. I love that. Yeah.
The first one was amazing for Nintendo 64, and then they fight after us begging them, practically, Nintendo, to do a sequel. We finally got one for the Switch.
Oh. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
I have to look at that.
We'll get you on that train. We'll have you taking pictures of Pokemon. And you get judged on the pictures a little bit. And so, like, there's points for it. And you have to get so many points to unlock new areas. And then there's, like, secrets in certain areas that you have to have certain items for. And that unlocks other areas or different routes. Ooh. And you can take pictures of more Pokemon.
Oh, stop it. I love taking pictures. I love it. I was going to be a photographer. Yeah, a long time ago. That died off real quick.
It's technically in my resume somewhere through there. You know, graphic design, it's a umbrella term at this point.
Yeah.
Like, but again, I'm really surprised Pokemon wasn't one of your gimmicks on that one.
I wish I would have. But yeah.
It's a it's a retro game that I don't think we can actually get anymore. If so, it's I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up on eBay real quick while I talk about it. It's a GameCube game. It was made by a really weird, I don't think it was indie, not really indie studio. Oh wow, that's going for more than I thought it was going to be going for.
Oh, no.
Holy Christ. I want to see who developed it though. Excuse me. Who did this? Yeah, so it's not done by a big name. Skip LTD, which I don't even think they do games anymore. It came out in 2005. It is called Chibi Robo.
Chibi Robo?
So the premise is you are a tiny little robot that gets bought by this family, and your whole purpose is to help this family clean up around their house and stuff like that, and make this family's life better. This game has a really, really dark, like, beast plot to it, because you can, like, listen to conversations between the characters and stuff like that. So, like, the parents are kind of, like, talking about how they're not really happy with the marriage because the dad's kind of a lazy layabout, and, like, that's why they bought the Chibi Robo in the first place.
Oh, no.
And, but it also has a, during the nighttime, it has a Toy Story effect where all the toys and a lot of the inanimate objects come to life. So you've also got to do quests and objectives for them.
Oh, gosh.
To get a copy of Chibi Robo on eBay, $208 is one of them that's going for. And that's a used English copy. There's one that's done by, that's CGC graded, a 9.4. So that means it's sealed, encased, it's been graded on its authenticity. $1,200.
Oh, I could never.
Oh, no, God. Ugh.
Oh, no.
But, so, like, Chibi Robo had a really good, like, run, because then they did one for the 3DS, which bombed. It sucked. I hate to say it. And you took care of a park instead of a person's house.
Oh.
And then they did a really weird side-scroller one for the 3DS that made it a platformer side-scrolling game that made no sense and had no connections to the other games. And it's just like, why? But that would be a game I would really love to watch you play. I don't even know if you could get it on an emulator. I feel like that'd be a hard game to get emulated. We just got to get you emulators. That's what we got to do. Get you playing retro games.
Oh, gosh. Sounds fun.
It was a blast because you ran around and you got points for cleaning up trash, and you could go back to your base and charge yourself, or, like, you could just throw your thing into any of the outlets around the house and charge yourself for it so you could last longer through the day. It was just watch a gameplay video of it, and it's such a good time.
I have to look at it.
Yeah. What's this Hello Kitty game about? You mentioned it, and my brain just went, Hello Kitty's getting a game, and I don't remember the last time Hello Kitty got a game.
I think it came out on the phone first, like on mobile. It's Hello Kitty Island Adventure. And pretty much Animal Crossing, but Hello Kitty is how.
Animal Crossing, but Hello Kitty? What games do you play? I play Disney. Animal Crossing. I play Animal Crossing. I play Hello Kitty. Animal Crossing.
it's literally Animal Crossing, but Hello Kitty. Oh gosh.
Oh it's yeah, so yeah. That's just Hello Kitty Animal Crossing. That is all that is.
I can't help it.
We need to just get you a Pokemon Animal Crossing.
Oh, stop. That'd be the cutest thing ever.
That would be actually really cute, getting Pokemon in, like, the Animal Crossing model. I would probably
be obsessed.
All I pictured was a Charmander with a tuxedo on, and it was kind of cute.
Oh, that's so cute. You know what's really funny is, speaking of Pokemon, this is so off topic, but, like, on topic, in a sense. Off topic of games. My youngest is 2. She saw a Bulbasaur and a Squirtle in Walmart, plushies, little tiny plushies, and she had to have them. She had no idea who they were. She has no idea what Pokemon are. Now she does. And now her whole entire room is themed off of Pokemon, and she has all but 2 of the Squishmallows that dropped. Expensive.
Yeah.
I know. She has all but the latest 2 because she loves Pokemon now. Squirtle is her absolute favorite. And she's only 2 years old, so you can imagine how expensive this is going to be for me.
Hey, if that Togepi Squishmallow ever goes missing, you know who you could have it go missing to, just saying.
She has all of them, and the only giant one she has is Teddy Ursa. He's huge for no reason. I didn't realize I bought the big one.
That's not the most mom mistake I've ever heard.
It's bigger than her. She can barely lug it around. It's so funny.
I bet she lugs it around everywhere too.
Oh yeah, they go everywhere with her, especially like the Squirtle and what is the other one?
Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur. She takes those everywhere, but also Bear in the Big Blue House. Do you remember?
Yes.
That's her favorite show. That's her favorite show.
That ever. Brings me so much warmth, my inner child.
She's got a little bear in the big blue house that she carries around with her everywhere she goes.
That's
found him at the doctor's office. Yeah.
Where do you even watch it now?
What is it on?
Is it on Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Oh, I'm about to relive my childhood soon.
It makes me so happy that she loves him so much. Oh, she had open heart surgery when she was 7 months old. And the only thing that would calm her down is the theme song or the goodbye song.
The goodbye song.
Yeah. When he would sing goodbye with Luna, that's the thing that would calm her down the most. I know.
That's gonna make me cry. Precious. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, like, so the original puppeteer for Bear, he popped up on TikTok months ago. And he did the goodbye song. And then like a couple weeks later, he got the voice actress for Luna to come on. And he still has one of the big bear puppets.
Yeah.
And so he did it with her. And I'm sitting there just crying because I'm like, this is my child. Or Steve. Anytime Steve has come up on TikTok. Sir!
He came up the other day about TikTok ending. I said, stop it. Don't even start it.
I don't need you doing this to me, Steve. I'm already upset.
Literally, I'm like, don't do this to me.
Did you ever see his commencement speech that he did at college? So they had him, I think he was doing online classes or something, or they just had him as a guest speaker. But they had him come on, and he gave basically like a valedictorian commencement speech about, and it was very, most of you know, probably don't know who I am, but your parents do. And I'm just like,
don't do this to me.
I'll have to see if I can find it on YouTube and send it your way, because you will absolutely just bawl.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll start crying. Oh, Steve.
So we're Steve or Joe? I don't even count Josh. I've watched a little bit of Josh and I'm like, I don't like that Blue's in 3D now.
Yeah.
Give me 2D blue.
Yeah, exactly. No, I prefer Steve over everybody. It's just what I grew up with.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know the other...
What's his name? Joe.
See, yeah, I didn't even know.
See, I knew Joe because I watched... Blue's Clues was my show, and I watched Blue's Clues religiously. I remember going to the movie theater for their movie that they did.
Oh. I didn't even know.
They did one. It was a Joe movie specifically, but I think Steve popped into it for it. But it was, they introduced Periwinkle, which is the cat.
Yeah.
And it's the bongo playing cat. And they did it because, whereas Steve's big thing was art and then also just kind of figuring things out, the detective line that they did for him now, which is hilarious in my opinion. Cool, this dog taught me how to be a detective, and now there's blue paw prints all over this crime scene. It's the best imagery I could ever have. But for Joe, his big thing was music. And so his big movie that they did for him was revolved around Periwinkle and music and everything.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even know.
Yeah. This clue's low. That's what we get on Joystick Journeys. We don't get the consoles and games that have paved your way. We get Blue's Clues lore.
We totally took a left turn really fast.
Me and Andy talked about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory for at least an hour and a half.
I saw and I was like, what are y'all doing?
You're good. You are fine. This isn't the weirdest tangent I've been on this show.
Oh, I can make it weird.
I mean, is that a threat or a promise?
Both. Both.
The Ohio way.
Literally. We're from Ohio. We're crazy.
We're in the limbo of America.
I called us the heart of the country earlier today, and someone was like, that's just something the Ohioans tell themselves. So that makes them feel better about themselves.
Is that our state motto? Where did that come? Because I don't think that's what I don't think Ohio is the heart of the country.
It's okay. They Googled it. It's not.
I want to find out what the heart of the country is.
But I swear I grew up being told that we were the heart of the country, and I was like, is that not a thing? Is that not a thing? I don't know.
My Google algorithms about to get really weird. I've gone from Hello Kitty Island Adventure, Chibi Robo, to which state is the heart of the country?
So funny.
Oh, wow. If you were talking geographically, the heart of the country is approximately Lebanon, Kansas. Because it would be directly in the center of the United States.
Well, somebody lied to me when I was growing up. Not my fault. No scopes. Wasn't me.
Good job, Kansas. You're directly in the center.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Yeah.
Well, I've ran out of questions, which usually doesn't happen. But I also don't prepare for these very much. I really, I'll let that count out of the bag. I do not have a list of questions here at all. I just kind of go with the flow of things. So I'm going to put the ball in your court. Do you have anything that you want to promote? Anything you got planned big coming up? I know you've taken a small break from streaming and you're finally coming back in. And all that jazz. Anything you want to promote for yourself?
I guess I could just talk about what it's going to look like going forward.
Yeah, go for it.
Nothing really to promote. The way that life is right now with working full time and being a mom, it takes a lot out of me. And streams are going to be up in the air. So if you don't have notifications on, that'd probably be the best time to do that now. because it's just going to be whenever I can do it, whenever I have a free moment, most likely on days that I don't have my kids, just because their sleep schedule is all wonky for some reason.
I don't miss putting kids to bed.
The other night, I got 1 hour of sleep. It's usually my oldest. When she would wake up, it took forever to put her back to sleep. And then my youngest usually sleeps through the night, but that one night she was up when the other one wasn't. So it was just up and down. And 1 hour. And I had several caffeinated drinks. And I'm surprised I didn't go to cardiac arrest because I was tired and very over-caffeinated.
Hey, yeah. We live off what we can, especially as parents.
True. Other than that. Other than when I was streaming the other day, I was trying to build a strawberry, and they're micro bricks.
Oh.
I don't know if you caught. I built the strawberry.
You finished the strawberry?
I built it. You can ask Jorge. I built it because I was streaming it to him, and I got about this much into it, and it just kept falling apart. Threw it down. I was like, I'm done. And then today I sat and I just took my time.
Is it hollow in the center?
Yes, pretty hollow. It's like it goes out, and then at this point, it goes in just a little, but the rest of it's hollow. And the bricks, like some of them, you put enough pressure on it, you could crush my strawberry. Yeah. And it irritates me because every time I'd put a brick on, the other piece would fall off. And
you should get like plastic glue or something and like dismantle it a little and then like glue it together.
I should do that. I also have a pineapple and a watermelon that I gotta do.
Those are terrible shapes to make.
I was about to do it before this, and I was like, I won't even get it done.
Won't even get myself angry before stream.
Yeah, no, I literally threw it down yesterday and tore it up completely apart. I was so irritated with it. So, but yeah, stream's just up in the air right now. Whenever I get a chance.
Which is completely understandable. I've been that way for a hot... I was trying to do, after I got my job, trying to do a weekly schedule. I'm like, no. No, you get me on my days off if I can. You get me on the days I don't close. And very, very rarely you get me on the days that I do close.
Yeah.
Because those are long ones.
Oh gosh, I bet.
Selling furniture is not fun.
Take care of laundry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I housekeep every once in a while, but I really don't want to do that. I don't mind the laundry. But it's a lot harder than people think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when those cranky old people can't find something that they clearly lost. Like, I didn't lose it. It wasn't me. They lost it, and then they come for me. I hide in my room.
Where's my laundry lady at?
No, they literally knock on my door, and I'm like...
I ain't here. I'm not here.
I run out the back. You can't find me. Somebody else could deal with it. Find another laundry girl.
Just you hiding from old people is a hilarious sight.
I love my residents. I love them so much. I have favorites, but there's one, and I'm not going to mention any names, and I'm not trying to sound mean, but she is a very big meanie head. Okay, I'll say it in the nice way. And she comes knocking on my door. I'm not there. Lights off, doors closed. I'm out. I hide from her every time she knocks on my door because I can't do it.
And are you scared of old people?
I'm scared of her. She's terrifying. She is terrifying. I make my boss deal with her. She brings her clothes into it. This is so off topic. I'm so sorry.
You're good. You're good.
She brings her clothes in a trash bag and says, "This is my stuff. Wash it with this soap, blah, blah, blah." And I did it, folded it up, took it to her, and then I forgot a washcloth. I was like, oh. So I brought it back, hey, I forgot a washcloth. Gave it to her. I go back, and there's another one. Another one. I text my boss, I'm like, you want to do me a favor? She comes, she goes, what's up? I said, take this to blah, blah, blah. And she was like, why? And I said, I've been there twice. I can't do it again. She'll bite my head off. I can't do it.
You've already messed up, though. Now she expects you to mess up, so that's why she keeps coming.
Exactly.
You're screwing yourself.
I did, and so I hide. She can't find me. No. Everybody else, I have so many favorites. It's hard, though.
Oh, yeah.
You get attached to people, and COVID hit and took a bunch of people out, so.
Yeah, I know how that is with my old job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, went on a whole weird tangent.
You're good. You are A-okay. That's what this is. We're just two friends yapping. We're just two cabin members sitting in the cabin, drinking our drinks, yapping about Vigima games and other topics.
Two Ohioans being loud and crazy.
In the dead of winter.
Dead of winter.
I know if we go outside right now, there ain't going to be a sound.
No.
What happens when the snow falls? The snow falls and it goes silent. I'm in the middle of a town right now and it's still dead.
Dead, literally. I can't. I don't mess with the snow. I was going down my hill at work the other day. I was barely moving. It was Wednesday. The snow was barely on the road, and I was barely moving. And I Tokyo drifted into the other lane, and I stopped right in front of the other. I was in the other lane, oncoming traffic, and I stopped. And I'm looking dead at this truck, and I was like, "Whoo!" Drove away. It was the scariest thing. There was barely any snow. It was nothing. Just a little dusting, and it almost took me out.
Sounds like you need new tires.
Probably. I can't afford new tires. Anybody want to buy me new tires?
Put them on your thrones.
Y'all be scrolling my throne and I got freaking tires for my vehicle on there.
I mean, I got a $1,500 I got a $1,500 office chair.
I think the most expensive thing is my Disney castle.
It's a Lego Disney castle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$450 freaking Lego.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Like, especially Lego prices in general. I want to buy the freaking either bonsai tree or the orchid.
Oh, the orchid.
Or they did a poinsettia for Christmas this year.
I did see that.
I want the poinsettia so bad, and I'm like, I don't want to pay $50 for Legos. I don't.
Get a Furbit.
I already have 3 affirms that I'm still paying off from when I was in a relationship.
No.
Hopefully they should be paid off this month or next, so yay. And then I'm probably gonna get a new graphics card.
Ooh. As you should. Responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm a bad influence, don't listen to me. You see all those Legos I got in that corner over there?
No, I see the ones on the back by the window. And the pop figures.
I'm horrible. Oh, when I see something cute, I'm like, instant, it's bad. I gotta work on it. I do it for my children more than anything, though. Like, if I spoil those girls, rotten.
Yeah.
Pokemon Squishmallows.
Yeah. Pokemon Squishmallows being the main topic of that. I'm jealous about the Togepi one. The Togepi and the Teddy Ursa, because those were like, they said those and Gengar, and I went, I don't have money for those. And I can't find them anywhere.
Oh god, yeah. Oh, because I'm crazy, and the minute that I know they're coming out and they're dropping, I'm on it. I don't care where I'm at and what I'm doing.
Are you buying them from like the actual Pokemon Center store?
Yes. I'm a psycho. I'm literally on it. The second that that goes off, I'm on it. I did not get the last two, though.
What were the last two?
Fuecoco and he's like a greenish blue. I couldn't tell.
Sprigatito?
No, because listen, if it was Sprigatito, I would have 2 of them. One for me and one for her. That's my favorite from Scarlet and Violet. I think it's a blob of some kind. I couldn't tell you what the name is.
I'm looking. Belly Bolt.
Hold on, let me.
Oh, the Fruococo one looks adorable.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. Those are the two that just dropped a few months ago, and I did not buy. For other reasons. But, yeah. Or I would.
So you do need to buy the 26-inch Whale Lord plush. That's what you need to buy. You want the link?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's that link for you.
Verifying the device. Yeah. We've been here, Poke Center. Let's go.
We've been here, Poke Center. We know what we're doing.
She would have a heyday with that, too.
Oh my lord.
It's just a giant Whale Lord. Oh, they also have a 15-inch Gigantamax Snorlax plush, too.
Oh, she's a sucker for Snorlax. She's got the freaking Squishmallow and something else.
So I went with my friends up to the mall the other day up north to our capital.
Oh.
And I almost bought... I've learned of the store Box Lunch, which is basically hipster, bougie, Hot Topic.
Yes.
I almost bought a new beanie, which was a Snorlax beanie. That had the little ears. And I'm like, no, I know my friends, I know the people I went out with today. They would give me so much shit for buying a beanie with ears on it. Especially because I know one of them is currently watching the live stream. I know that they would give me so much shit for buying that.
I think it'd be cute.
Oh, it'd be perfect. And like, I need a new beanie, but I don't need a new beanie because I rock my, they're an indie band out of Cleveland. They're called Grumpy Plum. Their genre, they classify themselves as surfer pop alternative. They're one of my favorite like indie bands. And I've got one of their beanies from whenever they came down to Columbus at one point. Because I was like, if they're coming to Columbus, I'm not missing that show. I don't care how much money I have. I don't care. I'm going. It's I'm going. And I did. And I was literally right at the stage. Like, I leaned on the stage through most of that show.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then I left whenever the third, because they was technically, so they wasn't the main for the show. They were the opener. And then they had some other, like, tech rock player do stuff. And then the last band was, like, a weird gothic rock heavy metal hoopla-doo. And I left, like, midway through. I went out for a smoke, and I went, yep, nope, I've had a slice of pizza. Because the pizza place I was going to hit after the venue had a spot there at the venue.
Oh.
So I grabbed pizza there. I already paid $15 for a fucking White Claw.
Oh, God.
Yeah, love concert prices for alcohol. And then I was like, nope, I'm leaving. Already got my merch. I'm out.
I'd be the same way. I can't do this. I'm going.
But
I've only been to like one. It's not really a concert. It was like kind of like Country Fest, but smaller. And that was back in 2016. And I would never do it again. That was so overwhelming to be like my first concert experience. Sam Hunt was the headliner.
Okay.
It was, Country Night Lights. And it was in... What's it called? Couldn't tell you. couldn't tell you. Starts with an Athens. There we go.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I would never do that again. That was so overwhelming for me, and that was the only type of concert thing I've ever been to. Now, if Stray Kids came to Cleveland or Columbus, I don't care how much it costs, where I'm at in life.
I don't even know who they are.
K-pop, I am
cool. Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've seen me go on my tangents of Bang Chan on my streams with my little cards and stuff. Yes.
Nope.
I'm sure my chat is so tired of hearing it because it's just a beautiful Korean man and I could talk about him
forever. It's a beautiful Korean man. Most Korean men are.
The whole dang band, the whole group is beautiful, but he's my favorite and I love him so much.
And they are working him to death.
They are.
And they are going to milk that man for every bit of money that they can get out of him, and they're going to throw him to the wayside and put another group in there.
Oh god, I'll cry. Don't say it.
Sorry, I know how this industry works. There's enough webtoons to tell me about it.
But yeah, if they would ever come to Little Ohio, then heck yeah.
Little Ohio.
Oh, Little Ohio. They did a tour, but we were not anywhere on that at
Probably
all.
Probably not.
I don't think we were anyway.
We're Ohio.
We're Ohio. We don't matter.
We're the limbo of the Midwest. Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone. True, though.
Well, did you see one of the last TikToks I sent to, before it all went down?
Yes.
It was that one mayor that's from Ohio that's Lovecraftian. All of his videos are like that. And he talks about Ohio like it's some eldritch horror of a place to be in. But it's just ominous and weird. I love his stuff. And he's just the mayor of a town in Ohio that he's known for, like, he's got a Lovecraft book club and stuff. And he just comes up with these weird, like, folklore tales that have no basis in anything for Ohio. Like, the hole, where we're all gonna go when TikTok goes down.
No, literally. Oh my gosh.
I like that we also just stretched out a little extra time, because usually after I go, so what do you want to promote for yourself? And then we did a good old fashioned Ohioan goodbye.
We did. Oh my god.
There's no door to leave to, but by God, we did it.
We did too. Oh man.
But it has been an absolute pleasure having you here at the arcade. It is an absolute honor being able to share a stream team with you. I know we both, I learned that we both started streaming around the same time. And so to see how far both of us have come is just like, it's amazing. And I know your community has supported you through so much, especially within this last year and these last several months. And I know my community has been through me through thick and thin right now. And if it wasn't for Emmy and Gab, I don't think we would have ever met.
I know. I don't think our paths would have ever crossed. And that's crazy to think about.
Especially since we're in the same state.
We're not too far from each other.
No, not that either. So
that's crazy.
But it has been an absolute joy having you here. I'm thinking of doing at some point a round table with as many cabin members as I can get, but I want to get all the cabin members on individually at one point. Yeah. And then just do a round table of just, I don't even know how I'd do the overlay for it, or let alone the media splicing for that sound wise.
Oh, that would be so much fun though.
But it would be all of us yapping.
All of us yapping. You guys wouldn't hear me. You wouldn't hear me at all.
I have your audio clear all the way up on the desktop audio in OBS right now.
I'm so sorry.
You're just a quiet little bean.
I'm just a quiet little baby over here. But I promise I'm loud IRL. Like, if we were ever to meet up in person, you'd be like, shut up. Oh my god.
No, we'd just be loud together. It's okay.
The loudest people in Ohio. I'm telling you.
But with that, everybody, the loudest people in Ohio are signing off. The arcade is closed. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And as always, everybody, thank you, goodbye, and good night.